continue reading Consoling the Heart of Jesus. It is a do-it-yourself retreat by Father Michael Gately, and it's based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. Have you ever actually pondered doing a St. Ignatius retreat? The ideal retreat is 30 days. It's 30 days of silence. There is a little mini retreat, a mini version of it, which is only 8 days of silence. If you're going to do an Ignatius retreat, you need to first of all find someone who is trained as a retreat leader, and then you need to go to them. So it can be really quite expensive to participate in a full St. Ignatius retreat. Father Gately has taken Consoling the Heart of Jesus and made a great do-it-yourself retreat, a great way for us to experience the elements of the St. Ignatius retreat without having to make that long-term commitment or the financial commitment. There are several ways you can participate in this retreat. You can listen to our podcast. Join us as we travel through this retreat. You can buy the book and the workbook. Do it yourself at home or with your family or with a friend. You can also get the book, the workbook, and the DVD and do it as a small group in your church or community. That's really probably the ideal way to do it if you can organize a small group. You can order your retreat materials at 33daystomorningglory.com. That's the numbers 33daystomorningglory.com. They are very affordable. Father Gately has kept this all priced so that you can afford to buy the DVD set and each individual buy your workbook and book to do the retreat. We're going to begin today's retreat on page 120 of Consoling the Heart of Jesus under the heading, The Spiritual Communion of Merciful Love. We left off yesterday kind of asking, what's a spiritual communion? It basically consists of making a prayer of desire to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. For instance, one can simply pray, Lord Jesus, I long to receive you in Holy Communion, but because I cannot do so now, I ask you to come into my heart through spiritual communion. According to one of the greatest theologians in the church, St. Thomas Aquinas, this kind of prayer can be amazingly powerful. He wrote that a person who fervently makes such a prayer of spiritual communion can receive the same grace as one who fervently receives sacramental communion. Now that we know what it is and its potential power, let's see how the Lord inspired Joe to make a spiritual communion.
During his retreat, Joe believed that the Lord wanted him to make a spiritual communion with a special emphasis. Specifically, he believed that the Lord wanted him to console him by making a spiritual communion with the intention of receiving the mercy that other people reject. Joe is to see the Eucharist, even spiritually received, as being the channel through which Jesus would pour out on him the superabundance of this rejected mercy. So Joe thought to himself, great, and he made a spiritual communion right then and there. But then he began to think, well, it's easy doing this right now, while I'm on a retreat, but I know I'm going to forget to do it later when life gets busy again. With such a thought in mind, Joe asked the Lord to show him an easy to remember way by which he might frequently make such a spiritual communion. The Lord taught him a beautiful prayer in answer to his request. As Joe was praying and reflecting on the words of the offering to the merciful love, he suddenly became aware of his breathing.
In, out. In, out. In, out.
After a while, he noticed that he would exhale out for a brief moment. Before the next inhale, his lungs were empty.
In, out, empty. In, out, empty. In, out, empty.
He reflected on that brief moment of empty and began to prolong it by not inhaling right after he exhaled. He would simply hold that moment of empty lungs for several seconds before inhaling, sensing that this breathing exercise was not a distraction from his meditation. The Lord seemed to be leading him. He further reflected on the moment of empty. He thought to himself, this moment of empty is fragile. If I remained in it for long, I'd pass out. He tried to see how long he could hold it. Not long. Don't worry, he didn't pass out. He noticed that the inhale sure felt good after holding empty for a while. Just as Joe began to think this breathing experiment was a waste of time and a bit silly, three Latin words popped into his mind. Ecce fiat, and magnificat. Joe understood almost immediately. Each word fit with one of the three moments of breathing. Each word represented a word spoken by Mary in the Bible. Each word following the other was a way of continually making a spiritual communion of merciful love with the heart of Mary. The Lord answered Joe's request. He not only taught him an easy-to-remember way of continually making a spiritual communion, but he also taught him to do so with Mary. Now I'm going to teach this prayer by explaining two things. First, the three words of Mary, and second, how each of these words corresponds to one of the three moments of breathing. The Latin word ice means behold. Mary spoke this word at the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel announced to her that she would be a mother of the Messiah. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. In other words, she presented herself to the Lord just as she was. When we pray, God wants us to present ourselves to Him as we are, like Mary did. He wants us to say, ice, that is, behold, here I am, O Lord. Yet there's obviously something very different about Mary and us. We sin. Mary never sinned. Does this fact mean we are unacceptable to the Lord? Absolutely not. Quite the contrary.
As we learned earlier in this retreat, we may be tempted to avoid going to Jesus because of our weaknesses, sinfulness, and attachments. This is the temptation of the Jansenist fear. But there's no need to be afraid. We console Jesus' heart when we go to Him just as we are. It breaks His heart when we don't. We don't have to be perfect to go to Him. In fact, the weaker and more sinful we are, the more He wants us to go to Him and present ourselves with complete honesty and truth. Ecce, behold, Lord, here I am, sinfulness and all. If only we would always remember how much this pleases Him. May we not be afraid to pray, Ecce, here I am, Lord. May we not give in to the lie that says we're ugly to the Lord. We are not. We are so beautiful to Him, just as we are. In fact, His merciful heart is particularly attracted to the weakest, most sinful souls. Father Gately's explanation of the next word will say more about this. The Latin word fiat comes from fiat mihi, let it be done to me. At the Annunciation, Mary spoke this word after she presented herself to the Lord, ecce. Jesus also wants us to speak this word after we present ourselves to Him. Yet when we speak it, it has a bit of a different meaning than Mary's fiat. When Mary said, let it be done to me, she was allowing the incarnation of the Word to take place in her immaculate soul. When we say, let it be done to me, we're allowing God's merciful love to come pouring down into our weak, sinful souls. It might be helpful to think of our fiat in the following way. First, imagine that the heavens above are an infinite ocean. Next, imagine that this ocean is held back from emptying out into the earth by a giant floodgate. Well, when we say fiat, it's the magic word that unlocks the gate. And once this gate is unlocked, look out. The waters of the heavenly ocean burst through and pour down into our souls like a great cascading waterfall. But don't be afraid, for as we'll now see, this ocean is a wonderful thing to experience. As you might have guessed, the ocean I described is the ocean of God's merciful love. Remember, merciful love is that particular kind of love that seeks out our brokenness, suffering, sin, and weakness. Do we understand, then, why Jesus loves it when we go to Him as we are, sinfulness and all? It's because weakness and wretchedness is precisely what attracts His merciful love. Thus, He simply and eagerly awaits for our fiat. When we give it, look out. We get washed in the wonderful flood of His merciful love. Now to the third word spoken by Mary. The word magnificat comes from Mary's exclamation in Latin, magnificat anima mea dominum. My soul magnifies the Lord. This is Mary's song of praise when she went to her cousin Elizabeth after giving her fiat to the Lord. See Luke 1:46-55. Mary was full of praise because of the great things God had done for her. After our fiat, after we've experienced the power of God's merciful love, we too will want to give praise to God. We too will want to sing out magnificat.
Earlier in this retreat, Father Gately said the best way to console the heart of Jesus is by trusting Him. He also said, thanks to Father Seraphim, that concrete expression of the trust is praise and thanksgiving. Well, because magnificat basically means the same as praise and thanksgiving. When we have our magnificat to the Lord, we're consoling Him in the best way possible. Of course, sometimes it's easier to praise and thank the Lord than at other times. Moreover, sometimes our praise will have no outward expression at all. It'll just be an act of the will in the depths of our hearts. And that's fine with Jesus. We give him what we can, and he's happy with that. Nonetheless, when we consider the merciful love that God pours into our hearts, it tends to be much easier to let out an outward song of praise. Having explained the meaning of the three words, ecce, fiat, and magnificat, now Father Gately is going to apply them to three moments of our breathing, empty, in, and out. Recall that Joe thought of empty as that brief, fragile moment in between an exhale and an inhale, and that he realized if he held it for too long, he might pass out. Well, that moment of empty illustrates for us our utter ecce. In other words, it shows us what we are of our own sinful selves, empty, weak, and on the verge of passing out. In fact, we can only remain in the moment, empty lungs, for a short time before we pass out and die. This is exactly what we are at ecce. We're saying, "Behold, Lord, here I am. Without your mercy, I'll collapse and die." Of course, when we present ourselves to the Lord like this, he rushes to us with his mercy and we take a deep breath in. That moment, in, obviously refers to inhale and follows the moment of empty lungs. This moment in feels great, especially if we've held empty lungs for 10 to 20 seconds. Go ahead, try it. Inhale after doing about 20 seconds of empty lungs. Doesn't the inflow of air feel great? Savor it for a moment before you let it go. Hold it for a few moments and enjoy.
Now going to continue reading on page 124 of Consoling the Heart of Jesus by Father Michael Gately. What you've just experienced, inhaling, illustrates what happens when we say fiat. For when we say it, we allow God's merciful love to flow into our hearts, and it feels great. It's exactly what we need, namely, his mercy entering into our emptiness. Breathe it in. Now realize this. Each inhale can be a spiritual communion. It becomes one if when we inhale, we make our intention to receive God's rejected merciful love into our emptiness. It's especially like receiving sacramental communion if we imagine that the merciful love we inhale is coming down from the pierced side of Christ as blood and water. We'll look more at this later. Obviously, after we inhale, we'll need to blow the air back out. Exhale. This is the out moment of breathing. Similarly, after we inhale God's merciful love, because it was so good and refreshing, we'll need to praise and thank him for the gift of his mercy. This praise and thanks is signified by the air we exhale from our lungs. We give it back to God as an exhaled Magnificat. Okay, having explained the meaning of ecce, fiat, and Magnificat, and having further explained how each of these three words applies to the three moments of our breathing, it might be helpful to put it all together with a meditation. For if we live this breathing exercise as a prayer, then we can constantly be making a spiritual communion, renewing the offering of merciful love, and living praise and thanks. To make our meditation, let's go to the foot of the cross just before Jesus dies.
Almost everyone else has abandoned him. But Mary is here with you. She puts her words on your lips. H.A. Here I am, Lord. You continue. Here I am, Lord. With all my sinfulness, weakness, and attachments, I don't deserve to be here. But I've learned this pleases you. So, behold, O Lord, I come here to console you, even as you are about to die. This humble confidence consoles Jesus right at the moment he breathes his last. As you pause here in the H.A. moment with empty lungs, the soldier's lance thrusts into Jesus' side and into his heart, causing blood and water to flow out and down like a waterfall, down into your heart and soul. As the first drops of this blood and water touch your face, you take a deep breath in, fiat. This blood and water, which is his mercy, and this wonderful air, which is also his mercy, fills your soul. After your soul has filled, after your lungs have filled, you linger at the end of the fiat moment as you simply enjoy and take delight in his merciful love. But after having rested for a brief time in the fiat moment, your heart and lungs are ready to release what you've just enjoyed. You're ready to breathe back out to the Lord, your love and mercy, your praise and thanks. And so, although he seems to be dead, because this is a meditation, you actually still console him. Mary gently raises you to his lips. You breathe into him your praise and thanks, the love and mercy that his blood and water have given to you. In this Magnificat moment, Jesus' lungs slowly fill with your praise and thanks, yet his heart can't hold this returned love, for it has been pierced and now your lungs are empty. Don't worry. Mary gently lowers you to the foot of the cross, where the blood and water again begin to flow down from the Lord's pierced side and into your emptiness, into the poverty of your Eche, and so begins again that wonderful cycle of love and mercy. Eche, empty. Fiat, in. Magnificat, out. Eche, empty. Fiat, in. Magnificat, out.
If we live this attitude of presenting our wretchedness to the Lord, Eche, receiving his mercy, Fiat, and then praising and thanking him for his saving mercy, Magnificat, we can be assured that we won't seriously be wounding the Lord by our lack of trust. For trust is not only praise and thanks, it's also to receive God's mercy. Remember how Father Seraphin said that to live trust means to praise and thank God for everything. Some people might have read and thought, that's all well and good, but I don't always feel full of praise and thanks, especially when it's hard to be grateful because of life's hurts. Isn't that the truth? But look at what we've just learned from the Ecce Fiat Magnificat movement. The path to praise begins with the Ecce moment. Moreover, while you're in the Ecce moment, we normally don't feel like praising and thanking, and that's all right. For from the Ecce moment, we eventually move to the Fiat moment. That is, we call down Fiat, the Lord's blood and water, mercy into our emptiness. Then the Fiat moment eventually leads to Magnificat, to praise and thanks. Don't worry if you're in the Ecce moment for a long time, for the simple act of presenting yourself to the Lord as you are, sinfulness and all, is itself an act of trust. Furthermore, the act of receiving God's merciful love, or fiat, is also an act of trust. And both these acts of trust, Ecce and Fiat, tend to lead to a further act of trust, namely praise and thanks, or Magnificat. Congratulations. At this point in the retreat, you've overcome all the main obstacles to consoling Jesus directly as the head of the mystical body. Yet there's one more obstacle. This one has to do with giving consolation to Christ in the members of his body. Get ready, because this isn't an easy obstacle to overcome. You might say that Father Gately saved the best obstacle, as in the hardest to overcome, for last. Our guest reader today was Macy. Thank you so much, Macy, for joining us today. If you would like to be a guest reader on Living Witnesses as we read Father Michael Gately's book, Consoling the Heart of Jesus, you can email Mary at cultureoflifemedia.com. That's Mary at cultureoflifemedia.com, and we will make arrangements so you can read with us. Don't worry, we can do it right there from your living room. You don't have to travel or go anyplace special to do the reading recordings. We are going to join Julie Musselman now as we go into the questions for today out of the Retreat Companion. We are on page 64. Question number 3 reads, how do the words Ecce, Fiat, and Magnificat summarize the whole retreat? 3 words that minimize the whole retreat. The whole spirituality of consoling Jesus. The whole of trust. What a gift. This was a long section to read, but in your own words, describe how these 3 words summarize everything we've covered. All right, Julie, I need your help with this one. How would you summarize that?
This is great to go over this question, because just over the weekend, I was outside doing some work, and I was really like paying attention to my own breathing, and it just popped up into me, the Ecce, the Fiat, and the Magnificat, exactly as we had read, Mary. And let's just to review, Ecce, these are Latin words. Ecce is the Latin word for here I am, like behold, like Ecce homo when Jesus is presented by Pilate means behold the man. So Ecce, here I am, Lord. I'm here. I want to serve you. I want to love you. And then the second Latin word, fiat, coming from what Mary says is the Annunciation, let it be done unto me. And then Magnificat, Mary's exclamation at the visitation, my soul magnifies the Lord, And what Father Gately is proposing here is even by our very breathing, we can praise and remember and love God with those three words. And so, Ecce, here I am, Lord. I'm small, I'm little, I don't have all the answers, I don't know everything. And then Fiat, but let it be done unto me according to your will, which is perfect and holy and the best thing that could ever be possibly happening to me. And then Magnificat, that praise, my soul magnifies God, praising God for his work in my life. And just by the very act of breathing, when we remember those words, we're really remembering the whole of the retreat. I think it's really beautiful the way Father describes that in this last passage.
Julie, you're absolutely right how it does encompass the whole retreat. But think about the scriptures. It tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. You can take it to the next level when you think about this prayer, how you turn your breathing into the prayer itself, how it will enable us to be obedient to that scripture command to pray without ceasing. Ecce. Fiat. Magnificat.